Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Text 24. Abhiradad ihasatam basiyasya pungso.
Abhiradad ihasatam basiyasya pungso.
Vigyana shaktiraham asamananta shakte.
Vigyana shaktiraham asamananta shakte.
Rupam vichitramidamasya vivrinvato me.
Rupam vichitramidamasya vivrinvato me.
Mari rishishta nigamasya giram visarga.
Mari rishishta nigamasya giram visarga.
Abhiradat.
Abhiradat.
From the navel lake.
From the
navel
lake.
Iha. In this millennium. Sata.
Sata.
Lying.
Lying.
Ambhasi.
Ambhasi.
In the water.
In the water.
Yasya.
Yasya.
One whose.
One whose.
Pungsa.
Pungsa.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Vijnana.
Vijnana.
Of the total universe.
Of the total universe.
Shakti.
Shakti.
Energy.
Energy.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Asam.
Asam.
Was born.
Was born.
Ananta.
Ananta.
Unlimited. Shakte,
Shakte,
of the powerful.
Of the powerful.
Rupam,
Rupam,
form.
Form.
Vichitram,
Vichitram,
variegated.
Variegated.
Idam,
Idam,
this.
This.
Asya,
Asya,
his.
His.
Vivrinvata,
Vivrinvata,
manifesting.
Manifesting.
May
unto me.
Ma,
Ma
may not. Ririshishta vanish. Nigamasya,
Nigamasya
of the Vedas.
Giram
of the sounds.
Visarga,
Visarga, vibrations.
Vibrations.
Translation. The Lord's potencies are innumerable. As he lies down in the water of devastation, I am born as the total universal energy from the navel lake in which the lotus sprouts. I am now engaged in manifesting his diverse energies in the form of the cosmic manifestation. I therefore pray that in the course of my material activities, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Every person engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord in this material world is prone to so many material activities. And if one is not strong enough to protect himself against the onslaught of material affection, he may be diverted from the spiritual energy. In the material creation, Brahma has to create all kinds of living entities with bodies suitable to their material conditions. Brahma wants to be protected by the Lord because he has to contact many, many vicious living entities. An ordinary Brahmin may fall from the Brahma Tejas, or the power of Brahminical excellence, due to his association with many fallen conditioned souls. Brahma, as the supermost Brahman, is afraid of such a fall down, and therefore he prays to the Lord for protection. This is a warning for one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and the blessings to carry out one's duty. Lord Chaitanya also entrusted his missionary work to his devotees and assured them of his protection against the onslaught of material affection. The path of spiritual life is stated in the Vedas to be like the edge of a sharpened razor. A little inattentiveness may at once create havoc and bloodshed. But one who is a completely surrendered soul, always seeking protection from the Lord in the discharge of his entrusted duties, has no fear of falling into material contamination. Translation again. The Lord's potencies are innumerable. As he lies down in the water of devastation, I am born as the total universal energy from the navel lake in which the lotus sprouts. I am now engaged in manifesting his diverse energies in the form of the cosmic manifestation. I therefore pray that in the course of my material activities, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. So here, Lord Brahma, as the leader of the disciplic succession, shows the example of how a devotee should be humble and pray for the Lord's protection in the discourse of one's prescribed duties in devotional service. Once Srila Prabhupada gave a class at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and in the course of the lecture, he said that he can never fall down. We may fall down, but he can never fall down. After the class, Srila Prabhupada came close to the deities, and he was obviously praying to the deities with great feeling. So one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada what he was praying, and Srila Prabhupada replied, "I was praying to the deities that I may never fall down." The disciple asked, "But in the class you said that you can never fall down." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Because I'm always praying that I may never fall down, therefore I can never fall down." So, the pure devotee is always meek and humble, and he feels himself to be dependent on the mercy of the Lord and the superior authorities in the line. And therefore, all of his activities are successful. In India, we used to visit aristocratic gentlemen to enroll them as life members and solicit contributions. And Srila Prabhupada commented that whenever he went into a rich man's house, he was always praying that he may not become attracted to the rich man's opulence. So we, as followers of Srila Prabhupada in disciplic succession from Lord Brahma, should also be meek and humble and always pray to the Lord and the superior acharyas for protection. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Lord Brahma was concerned about the contamination that would accrue from association with vicious people. And he had to create the bodies of all the living entities in the universe. And he created the bodies according to their conditions and their mentalities. And some of their mentalities were vicious. And therefore he came in close contact with such people, with such bodies. And therefore he was afraid that he might become contaminated. The principle of association is very powerful, and therefore the scriptures give many warnings about associating with non-devotees. Injunctions like, it is better to live in a cage of fire or embrace a tiger than to live in the association of non-devotees, because their association can be very infectious and poisonous. And at the same time, there are injunctions that one should stay in the association of devotees. So on the positive side, we have the association of devotees. And on the negative side, we have the avoidance of intimate association with non-devotees. But then again, Lord Chaitanya, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, has descended to reclaim the fallen souls. And he has entrusted his mission to his devotees. So as devotees of Lord Chaitanya and followers of Srila Prabhupada, who is the empowered servant of Lord Chaitanya, we also have inherited the same mission to reclaim the fallen souls. And how can we reclaim them unless we give them our association? And to give them our association means that we, in one sense, are subjected to their association. So how to reconcile the different injunctions that one should associate with devotees and not associate with non-devotees, with the instruction to preach? Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Lord Chaitanya has assured his devotees that they will be protected from material contamination in their efforts to serve Him and preach Krishna consciousness. When Lord Chaitanya traveled in South India, he met one Brahmin named Kurma in a village near Kurmakshetra. But the way Lord Chaitanya dealt with the Brahmin Kurma was indicative of the way he dealt with all the devotees he met in his travels. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, he came before the deity of Kurma, Dev, in the temple, and as usual, he would dance in ecstasy. He would laugh, he would cry, he would faint, and news spread of the extraordinary sannyasi who had come to Kurmakshetra, who was exceedingly beautiful and who at the same time exhibited such ecstatic love for Krishna. And different devotees would come forward to invite the Lord to visit their homes and accept prasad. So the Brahmin Kurma invited Lord Chaitanya to his home, and as the etiquette dictated, he washed the Lord's feet with water, and then he and his family members drank the water. Then he served the Lord prasad, and then he and his family members accepted the remnants. And he told the Lord that now that you have come to my house, my birth, my family, my wealth are all blessed. They've all become successful. So the Brahmin Kurma became so attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Lord was about to leave, Kurma requested him that I cannot bear the waves of material existence in household life any longer. Please allow me to come with you. And Lord Chaitanya replied that do not say such things. You should remain at home with your family and chant the holy names of Krishna and follow the regulative principles. And Lord Chaitanya spoke the famous verse, Amar Agyai Guru Hai Tar Ek Desh Yare Deke Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh, that wherever you go, whomever you meet, speak the message of Krishna and thus become a guru and deliver everyone in your land or in your place. And Lord Chaitanya assured him, as quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, that if you follow my instructions, the waves of material existence will not touch you. And again, I will meet you here, or I will never leave you. So the words that Lord Chaitanya spoke to the Brahmin Kurma are very important for us. Because Lord Chaitanya instructs that we don't have to change our position, we don't have to change our location, we simply have to chant the holy names of Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's representative and follow the regulative principles and try to induce others to follow the same process. And if we do, the contamination of material existence will not touch us, and we will always have the company of Lord Chaitanya. But, again, Srila Prabhupada balances his instructions and his purport. We shouldn't think that just because we're devotees of Lord Chaitanya and we're chanting Hare Krishna and trying to preach, that we become invulnerable or infallible. At the same time, we have to be very careful. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse from the Upanishads that spiritual life is like a razor's edge, and one has to be very, very careful. And in the mood of being careful and cautious, we should always pray to the Lord and to Srila Prabhupada and the parampara, that we may not make a mistake, that we should serve them exactly as they desire. And that will keep us safe. Once one disciple said something to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, until one becomes perfect, one must whatever. And Srila Prabhupada says that one who is perfect never thinks that he's perfect. He always thinks that he is fallen and foolish. And if someone thinks he is perfect, he's a rascal. And Srila Prabhupada quoted Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Chaitanya said that my spiritual master called me a fool and chastised me. Murke, fool. So Srila Prabhupada says, was Lord Chaitanya a fool? He was the most learned scholar in India. What to speak of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So was he a fool? No. But he accepted the position of being a fool. In other words, he had the feeling of being a fool before his spiritual master. And therefore he was ready to be chastised by him and instructed by him. And Srila Prabhupada says that should always be our attitude. We should always feel that we are fools before the spiritual master and be ready to be chastised by him. And that will keep us perfect. And as soon as we think that we're perfect, we're beyond being chastised by the spiritual master or instructed by the spiritual master, then we become rascal. Then we are fallen. So humility is essential in spiritual life. Again, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that Lord Chaitanya has summarize the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness in the Shikshastakam, but he hasn't made any mention of spiritual master, yet spiritual master is so important. Srila Prabhupada replied that Lord Chaitanya prayed Trinadapi Sunichena Tararapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And Srila Prabhupada said that the humbleness that Lord Chaitanya expressed in the verse leads one to accept a spiritual master. Because if one is humble and feels his own incapability, then he will want to be guided by someone more capable than he. And therefore he will accept the guidance of spiritual master. So we have so many spiritual masters. Of course, Krishna is the original spiritual master, and Lord Chaitanya also is the original spiritual master, especially for Gaudiya Vaishnava. And then Lord Chaitanya is followed by the six Goswamis, so many acharyas in parampara, and then Srila Prabhupada, our founder acharya, ISKCON. So they're all there to guide us. But even though they're there to guide us by their words and their examples, we also need practical guidance. We may not always know how to apply their instructions in our daily lives and in our practical service. And therefore we need the association of other devotees. Recently I spent some time in Dallas after our esteemed and beloved godbrother, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, departed. And when I was there, I remembered one conversation I had with him in Dallas. The day I arrived there, he told me that, you know, that although he had all of his initiations from Srila Prabhupada, first initiation, second initiation, and sannyas initiation, and although he had so much personal association from Srila Prabhupada, he still felt, in the absence of Srila Prabhupada, the need for guidance. And therefore, he considered He took guidance from many of his godbrothers. And at the time, he actually listed the names of various godbrothers who he took guidance from and who he had accepted as Shiksha Gurus. So I had to think about what he said, because at the time, many of the leaders in the movement had actually fallen down. Maybe for the reason suggested here in the purport, that maybe they didn't remain as humble as they should have. And as it is said, pride cometh before a fall. So anyway, you know, many of the leaders that I was attached to and had respect for had fallen down. And I had almost made a vow, you know, that I'm never going to place my faith in anyone else except Srila Prabhupada ever again. So when Tamal Krishna Goswami started talking about him accepting guidance from his godbrothers and taking his godbrothers as Shiksha Gurus, I was sort of in a dilemma, because I took what he said very seriously in general, but at the same time I'd made my resolution, you know, never to put my faith in anyone else except Srila Prabhupada. So I just heard it and considered it. And then the next morning, when we were chanting our rounds in the temple, I just sort of had the realization that what he said was true. and that actually we do need guidance. We need the association of devotees, and the association of devotees implies guidance. The structure of ISKCON includes guidance. We have the temple presidents and the different authorities in the temple, and they are guides for us. We have the different devotees who speak on the scriptures in the class. They're guides for us. And then there are preachers who come and visit. They can also be guides for us. And we need that guidance. And that's also part of humility. And that's also part of Krishna's guidance and Guru's guidance. That they send sadhus. They send sadhus who can inspire us and encourage us and instruct us and perhaps chastise us if required, both in a general way and in a specific way. And that is one of the greatest gifts Srila Prabhupada has given us, the association of devotees. And it's really the association of devotees that protects us. In Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami about the devotional creeper, he advises that, as you probably all know, that one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya instructs that we should become gardeners and plant the seed and water the seed so that it grows very nicely. At the same time, we should be vigilant and see that no weeds grow up alongside of the devotional creeper. And if any weeds do begin to sprout, we should pull them out. And then he says we should especially guard against the mad elephant of offense, Atimata, the mad elephant of offense, Vaishnava Aparad, or Guru Aparad. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya instructs that we should fence in the devotional creeper, surround the devotional creeper by fence that will keep the mad elephant out. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the fence is the circle of pure devotees. If we always stay in the circle of pure devotees, that will keep out the mad elephant of offense. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that to disobey the order of the spiritual master is one of the offenses, or the offense that one must carefully guard against. But we can be saved from disobeying the order of the spiritual master, specifically from failing in our duty to chant our prescribed number of rounds and failing in the observance of the regulative principles. We can be protected if we stay in the circle of pure devotees. And that's the association that Srila Prabhupada has given us in ISKCON in particular. We should be happy that Srila Prabhupada has given us such association. And we should adhere very closely to the association of devotees, and in particular, in our case, in the association of devotees who are strict followers of Srila Prabhupada. So we have, the circle of devotees here that can protect us, and we should stay in the circle and be safe. But at the same time, we also have to extend ourselves to others who are not in the circle now. You know, that is preaching. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. That is Srila Prabhupada's desire. And very humbly approach people who are not in the circle and welcome them to come in the circle by following the instructions Lord Chaitanya gave to the Brahmin Kurma, by following the instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given us in his books and purports and instructions. And that is to chant Hare Krishna, follow the regulative principles under the guidance of the spiritual master, and to preach, to encourage others to adopt the same principles. And that will make our spiritual lives successful. And that will make Srila Prabhupada's mission in service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu successful. And that will ultimately lead us to the eternal service of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and his lords and masters. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.